The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening, and pop culture every Tuesday, okay? I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA, and I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Who's on Content. And this week, we have Vanita Aspen in the studio. Vanita is a client of DBA and is also a star of the hit Bravo reality TV show, Southern Charm. Vanita is someone who has truly used her platforms, both online and on air, to change the representation for what it means to be a Black woman, especially a Black woman growing up and currently living in the South. If you've ever seen the show Southern Charm, then you know that Vanita is definitely a breath of fresh air. She doesn't mince her words. And I think when we think about who's on content, right, we're constantly talking about people that are creating content, most times for brands or creating content for themselves to be consumed by other people. But at the end of the day, content does, in some shape, form, or fashion, have some entertainment value to it. So we, as the consumer of said content, need to start to really analyze how much of this is reality and how much is for the clicks, the engagement, and just for entertainment value. And with that, let's get into the interview. Oh my gosh. Vanita Aspen is here in the studio with us. How are you, man?
Hello. I'm doing so lovely. Actually, not gonna lie, I had a really rough day yesterday, which is resulting in another rough day today. But like now I feel lovely because we're on the podcast.
Oh, we're going to get into all things because we really want to talk about the content of reality. But before we dive deep, we always like to ask our guests, how do you define content?
Content is showcasing the things that make me happy.
Content is showcasing the things that make me happy. And what is...
Or that brings you joy.
Or that brings you joy. And what is currently making you happy and bringing you joy?
My hair.
What about your hair? Because Black women have such a beautifully complicated relationship with that crown. She is the friend that you'd be like, girl, I said lay to the left. You want to lay to the right.
Right. For me, I think it has been kind of like revolutionary. And I know that's a stretch. But I've always wanted to like be in the world of like extensions and wigs and things like that. But I never wanted to compromise who I am as an individual. And being a natural haired woman, I just thought that that was going to be such an impossible thing to do. Right. I was like, oh, my God, there's no way I can wear these tape ins or clip ins. Like, I'm going to have to straighten my hair every time. Boom. I now wear natural hair tape ins. I have natural hair clip ins that match my texture to the
Come on. Isn't it so crazy?
I can't even tell the difference.
That's revolutionary. Like the past 10 years that the natural hair clip and extension industry was even formed, but we've had
more European
textured hair
extensions and like hair accessories. And like, it just got to a point where like, if you know me, you know, I'm a glam girl. Like give me the makeup, give me the lash.
Give me all the things.
There were always moments when I was getting ready where it's like, I feel like I have to skip a step because my hair isn't mainstream. So like, I don't get to like fluff my hair out and make it as big as I want or like change up the style because there's not a lot of options for me. So I started like digging into this natural hair clip-in, tape-in extension world with my local stylist in Charleston. And so far we've done, I got a couple units. I got
clip-ins. I got a couple of units. And you're talking about wig units, you know? Right?
Yes.
The girls, so for anyone that is listening, a unit is a wig.
A wig, yes.
Or at least a substantial amount of hair where you're like, girl, where's my curly unit at? Because she's a unit.
Right.
And she needs to be attached. I think content was telling you that if you wore extensions, that you weren't honoring your crown or that you weren't happy with your natural hair. And so what content were you consuming that changed that narrative or provided a new narrative or a form of representation where you was like, actually, a bitch gonna be okay?
Okay. I think that I just wanted to see myself in the content that I was digesting that I enjoyed.
Boom.
So like, Jackie Aina has this like beautiful thing that she does on TikTok where she just shows like simple moments in life. And like with me, it was like, I noticed that like she was the first video I'd ever seen of someone's braids being taken down and it not be like,
gasping.
I might get dragged for this, but you know, it's not in like some chop shop. Like, you know what I mean? Like she's in her house. Like she has people coming to take her hair down.
Yes.
And like help her. She doesn't have to do it herself. Yes. And it was like glamorous. She was in her living room. She was sipping her wine, like getting her hair done in a way that everyone should deserve to feel when they get their hair done. But like, we just haven't been like shown that. So for me, I was like, dang, like I could do that. Like I can do that for like the natural hair girls and like
use that.
Be the Jackie Aina of natural hair girlies.
And ma'am, that is the content of reality, because the reality is your hair needs to be done. It doesn't need to be done, but as someone who, like you said, is a glamour puss, someone that is very much like a glamour girl, you're like, my hair need to be done, girl. These nails need to be ready.
Hair
needs to be slayed.
At all times.
And so let's get into the content of beginnings, because I think all of this, like our relationships with our hair, our relationships with our image started at a very young age. And you, I are a Charleston resident. Did you grow up in Charleston?
I did.
So you were born and raised in Charleston. Charleston, South Carolina, or as the people say, South Kakalaki or North Kakalaki. And we all know the content of reality that is Southern heritage. What was that Southern heritage content that was training Vanita and fueling Vanita and feeding Vanita content to either affirm or unaffirm young Vanita?
Oof. That's a really good ass question. I don't think I've ever thought about my upbringing in a Southern culture in a positive light.
And that is the content.
Yeah. And like, I think now I can like tap back to it and be like, you know, actually that was a positive thing. But like when I was growing up, it was just like, I always felt like I needed to like do something that wasn't me or look like someone that wasn't me or like dress like someone that wasn't me. So it was very like, I don't know, it was really hard. And I think it took me until I got to like high school to kind of start breaking that mold. Like we had something called tag days where it's like you pay a dollar and like the school donates that dollar to like a charity, but like you could wear regular clothes because I went to private school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like everyone wore like Lily Pulitzer and like Vineyard Vines. And
come
like,
on, you already know, girl.
And, yeah.
J. Crew and, like, down
I love
to the khaki.
Brands now because I can like wear them in my own way. But then I felt like I needed to wear it like them. So like I opted out of wearing it like that. So like, I'll never forget, I showed up to school one day with a purple silk button-up, a black floral necklace, black jeans, cowgirl boots. I had like a little curl bang, like half up to. And like, I always remember that moment because for me, that was the first time like someone had said something to me that was like, why are you dressing like that? And I was like, oop, I've done it. Like,
you're like, oop, I've othered myself. Like, isn't it so interesting how uniforms and it's either a team uniform or a school uniform, anything that allows us to quote unquote hide or be seen as similar is okay until we then put on the armor of ourselves and then we other ourselves. So your clothing othered you because the girls are like, what the hell?
Right. And that was around the same time that like, so I never got an actual perm. I got something if my old school hair girl, as you know, the word vigoral. Okay. Like I never got a perm. I got something close to it. But at that time I was also starting to, instead of wearing my hair straight every day, I would put rollers in my hair every night to get this curl pattern. They were like, ew, what are you doing?
What are you
and
doing?
I was like,
It was like being a black girl in the South. Like, whoopsies.
Right.
Cats out the bag. And so from there, we all have such complicated history with our past and our upbringings. And as we become more self-aware, we understand certain tentpole moments in our lives, past and present, that really inform who we are and further inform the journey in which who we are today will take. And so at what point did you say, okay, I am a black woman and this is just my life and it's going to be othered. It's going to be different because I live in the South, but I got to keep going and still I rise.
You know what? I think I realized that after BravoCon. So that was a month and a half ago. Yeah.
And, like, and just for context, you realized what?
Like, I realized that, like, I can stand my ground and be who I am and be the version of me that I want to be. And, like, people will accept it. And to make sure that, like, I am always being surrounded by the people that accept that instead of trying to force myself to be in circles where it's still looked at as, we don't know if we like that. Like, that's fine, but you don't have to like it because there's a whole slew of other people that do. And, like, going to the right.
And it's not that you were seeking public validation. Like, you're on a reality show. So there is validation or invalidation, whether you like it or not. It's like the people coming for me in the ratings and reviews of the show, they're coming for me in my comments. And so I have to at least arm myself with whatever I need to just take it or send these girls to the block party. But being in a physical space, right? Because when you're on the show or when you're sharing your life via social media, which we'll get into, there is a filter. There is a barrier of protection and it's called a screen. So you can see it, but you don't physically have to hear it. It isn't like someone's telling you to your face, which has a completely different outcome. If somebody came up to you and was like, girl, you are not it. Versus someone in the comments like, girl, you're not it. And you just be like,
Like, you know what I mean? Like, girl. It was so nice. Thanks for the engagement. I appreciate it.
Yeah, like, thanks for getting these numbers up. But it's that is so, so interesting. And so talk to me first about the content of food. Because before you were in reality TV and before you became a lifestyle online personality, you went to culinary school, correct?
I sure did.
And what sparked that? What was the content that you received that was like, ooh, food is the way to go?
It wasn't really food was the way to go. At the time, fashion was still pushing my way to go. But I wanted to have like a Charleston version of like a Bergdorf's or like a Barney, like cafe on the inside.
Because you thought that was missing from the fashion scene in Charleston.
Right. And there wasn't anything that felt special when it came to shopping. It was just shopping. There was no true experience. Mm-hmm. And like Charleston was such a big foodie city, but like it didn't have like a well-rounded like version of like shopping and eating at the same time. Because the first thing you want to do after you spend money is sit down and have lunch and be like, yes, girl, we just spent this and we did this and it looks so fabulous. Here, they didn't have that. So like, I was like, that is what was pushing my passion for food. I was just like, okay, I understand fashion enough to like get some things started. Mm-hmm. When it came to food, like I knew I understood it, but like that was the thing I wanted to have like a professional background in. So I chose to go to culinary
school. I love that. Yeah. What school did you go to?
Went to Trident Tech, which is a tech school based in Charleston. And at the time, all of my teachers owned restaurants downtown. So I opted to go there versus going to the Art Institute, which no longer exists.
And how far did you go within your food career?
I worked in kitchens for, I guess, 3.5 years. I was a line cook. I was a lead pastry chef. I did it all. I washed dishes. What was a prep cook? Like I did like every single part of the kitchen for the most part. And like, even then I just knew that like this space in this way is not for me. Cooking and food is for me, but the space isn't, because like I would show up to work as the glamorous that I am.
Yes. I would this have black, beautiful
red
woman.
Nails,
come on.
Red lipstick. Like,
I was like, I'm ready to go in my all white.
Right. And like, I wanted to test the limitations of my makeup. So I would show up to work on a 9-hour shift working in a hot kitchen with a full face of makeup, lashes and all. But like, even then, I just knew, I was just like, okay, this is great. Like, I love cooking. I love food. I love what I can do with it. But it's just not for me. I even tried like different routes of trying to show people how to cook at a certain budget or a certain dollar amount and like reminding them that you don't need $500 to go to the grocery store to have groceries for a week or a month or whatever. And like, I was just like, it's still not it.
And so you pivoted. And when did you get the call to be on the show that you're currently on?
That didn't come until 6 years later.
6 years later.
Yeah. And I was working in fashion in between that too. I was doing like food and fashion at the same time. So I was doing something in Charleston called Charleston Fashion Week at the same time I was like cooking in kitchens in Charleston.
Okay.
So like I was kind of tag teaming both of them at the same time. And like, it just wasn't happening. But yeah, so year 2020 was my first year part time. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't really like a call situation. That was more so like people were bringing me on at events and when they know they were going to be filming so I could like be in the room.
Yeah.
And then the call was June 2021.
And how has, and we talked about this before we started, I think what people forget is reality TV, being an online personality, on air personality, the things that you do are for consumption of an audience and of a community, but they also are for entertainment value only. Like some things are exaggerated just for the entertainment value of it. And so did you find that as you try to strike a balance between being on this show and also maintaining your lifestyle platform, which is fashion, food, beauty, and also some content of the show, that people were blurring the lines between what was reality and what was IRL essentially?
People got the same version of me. But I think the biggest thing that kind of like set me back is like once it started airing, like my mom's neighbor, this is the thing that shook me. My mom's neighbor, when I went to her house one day, literally stopped me and was like, are you really that much of a bitch in real life? And people really think that, oh no, this is how you really act.
But that is why, if we think about it, currently on Netflix, 40 of the top 10 shows are based on reality because reality actually is stranger than fiction.
I mean, truly, it truly is.
You know what I mean? Like the girls are like, "Ooh, Jesus, like you can't even make this shit up." But that is the time that we live in. And so it explains why so many people want to be influencers and so many people want to be TikTok stars because you just see people living reality all day long. And if your reality sucks, you just start to look for a better reality. And so you end up blurring the lines between what is real and what is fake. And that to me that's insane. And so what are some of the lessons that you've learned in terms of maintaining and keeping boundaries because you are on a hit show, but then you also have a platform, which is your Instagram channel, where you are a full-time creative. What are the boundaries that you have created knowing that you have dueling interests, right? Like you got to be somewhat interested to be on the show and give the girls like little jazz. Again, entertainment value. But then you also need to bring that entertainment value to your content and allow brands to see you not as a reality star, which some brands look at as trashy or down market, but as someone that is of Southern charm. See what I did there? That is fashionable, is beautiful, is marketable.
Right.
So what are the boundaries that you set up to allow yourself to be marketable?
I've been myself from like day one. Like I feel like who I am on Instagram now isn't different than who I was on Instagram 10 years ago when I first got on it. Like my images might look better, but I feel like the same personality is coming through the screen.
Yeah.
So like I haven't really done anything different, but I think that is what stands me apart because I'm still capable of doing work and getting jobs on a consistent basis because like I am true to who I am 10 out of 10, like all the time.
Right. And did you have the platform that you have on Instagram prior to the show or did that grow as your profile on the show grew?
Both. Because when I started the show, I was at 80,000 followers. Right now I'm at 106,000. So it's like
so
I
you
already
did the
had
work.
A platform.
So you were using your passion for food and fashion, creating your lifestyle platform. And then someone's like, oh, well, they already have a platform. We can put them on this platform. And the stars aligned.
Right.
What are some of the lessons you've taken from being who you are, 100% authentic, online and on TV.
It's okay if people don't like it.
Isn't that so fucking hard? Why is that the hardest thing for us as adults?
Yeah, it is. You never want to make somebody else feel ways that you never want to feel. So like, you never want to make somebody else feel sad. You never want to make somebody upset or like feel bad about themselves. But like, at the end of the day, like, unfortunately, it's still dog eat dog. Like,
come
you
on.
Might feel bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you. But like, I am very happy with who I am. And like, if that affects you negatively, like, you got to think a little bit more deeply in you and like, stop trying to project that onto me, because it's not going to help you.
Come on. I love that. Are you in therapy now?
No, I'm not in therapy now.
Yes. Isn't it great to be introspective without a therapist?
It is. And I don't have anything against therapy. Mm-hmm. I just think that
you should do the work before you bring your work to somebody else to be done.
Right. And like, I need to figure out as much as I can about myself before I walk in there and be like, hey, yo, fix me.
I love that. And talk to me about just overall, why it's so important for you as, again, a Black woman to create a narrative about Black women in the South that is different from what people either assume or already know.
Because, that's such an easy answer, because representation matters. Like, you can't be who you fully want to be if you don't see yourself. And, mm-hmm. like, I can't imagine how different my life would be if I saw myself in every space that I was in, from a child to a young adolescent. Like, and, like, how that would have impacted me so differently and, like, growing up and, like, the things I would have been more confident in at a younger age and, like, maneuvering in and, like, wanting to do. A lot of that didn't come until after I turned 23.
Wow.
It's like, I made sure I was putting myself in spaces where I saw people that were like me and like move like me and things like me, where before that, like, I didn't really have the option. Like, I was still dependent on my
parents. Content wasn't available. And so you didn't know what content was available. And when you know better, you do better, and you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Wow. How does, you know, being in a position that you have create either pressure or responsibility to still show up? Because I know representation matters, but you as a Black woman, you can represent who you are, and that representation can change. What is the content that you are consuming to remind Vanita to be Vanita?
Truthfully, consuming my own content. So like, letting my followers know on the days that I'm like, this shit ain't it. Like, yep. I'm tired. Like, imposter syndrome has been kicking my ass like nobody business.
So?
And like, it's so easy to feel so overwhelmed, especially in this time.
Yep.
And like, the amount of people, I mean, I think I literally got, and this is not an exaggeration, I literally got 100 messages minimum. We did not know Vanita Aspen could suffer from imposter syndrome. And it's like, yeah,
damn.
Like, I'm human.
The pressure is getting worse.
But it felt good, and it felt like, okay, like, it's all right for me to say to myself, I'm that girl, but it's also okay for me to say, like, today I'm not that girl. Like, today I'm taking care of myself. Like, it's okay to say that out loud.
It's okay to say that out loud, but then project that online, so you give people a representation of who you truly are.
Right, because I don't see a lot of it from peers that I love to follow on Instagram. It's not to say that like they don't feel like that, but they might not be comfortable sharing it. So it's like,
right.
I would want to see that from them.
Well, we have come to the portion of the show where I'm going to ask you 4 rapid fire questions. After each question, I'm going to ask you who's on content. And when I say who's on content, you already know it doesn't have to be a content creator. It doesn't have to be a platform. It's whatever is on content for the question that I'm asking. Cool? All right, here we go. Your favorite form of content, who's on content?
Nabella.
Nabella. Who is Nabella?
Nabella is the sweet girl who lives in Philly, has a little girl. She does Pockets of Peace. She does Pockets of Peace online.
Okay, I'm going to check her out. Nabella, Pockets
of
Peace.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need a reset. Who's on content?
Tanika.
Yes, I love a good Hey, Tanika.
Yeah, I love Tanika. I love her. She definitely is one of the creators that I followed that will speak to her emotions online without fear. And I really appreciate that.
I love that. When you need to be inspired, who's on content?
My mother.
Why does your mother inspire you?
Because she has done it all and is still doing it all. And she's just amazing. Aww. And I aspire to be I wish I could be half the woman that she is.
Cue the Boys to Men. Mama, you know I love you. I love it. Last rapid fire question. When you need to feel joy, who's on content?
My best friend, Dominique.
Listen, we all need good friends. Okay, so we've talked about like just people not understanding that reality TV, reality, just reality content sometimes is done for entertainment value only, right? And so you live your life online, you live your life on air, you have great branding opportunities to engage with brands that allow you to create content to promote a certain experience or a certain product that you know your community will like.
Right.
All of these things are going to change as we get deeper and deeper into the web. Web 3 is coming. We likely will become parts of the reality show as we watch them in the metaverse or whatever this Web 3 universe that they're creating will look like. But what do you think the future of our industry is?
I think the future of the industry is definitely going to be a whole lot more transparency.
Transparency around what?
Everything. I think that people can appreciate what is hidden behind closed doors, but they also want an inside scoop. And like, there's a way to share that inside scoop and be transparent without giving it all away.
That's the balance. That's that dance that we're still trying to get the two-step on.
Right. But I think it'll happen.
I love that. Benita, I mean, I've seen your content evolve since we've started working together because you are a client of DBA. I love how you remain true to you as you figure out what you want to share and who you want to be on the screen and online. And with that, I tell you, thank you. Thank you for joining us and thank you for giving us the content of you. It really is changing the representation for some other little girl living in a southern state that doesn't have the content to be able to feel confident enough to wear that purple silk shirt and them black jeans and them cowboy boots.
Okay, say that.
Thank you, love.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome.
Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.